fiction feeds your fantasy. A little fiction dampens the reality. A little fiction. Hello and welcome to the Writing Cast, where we explore the craft of writing. I'm your host, Ivy Reisner, and this is episode 76, Overwritten. Your resource this time is the online grammar guide at http://grammar.ccc.comnet.edu/grammar. I'm going to have that link in the show notes. At every writer's conference I've ever attended, editors have said repeatedly that the writers who can get grammar right fall into the top 5% of all submissions, and those who can't just get form rejections. So this is a great place to double check the basics. I have a press release to announce this time, and it's from the Dream Power Creative Writers Contest for Children. To celebrate the 5th anniversary of publication of the award-winning fantasy The Dark Dreamweaver, Imaginator Press is sponsoring a creative writing contest for children and teens up to age 14. The Dark Dreamweaver is the first book of the Remin, possibly Remin, R-E-M-I-N, Chronicles about a land literally powered by dreams. Imaginator Press invites children to write a creative story on the theme of dream power for a chance to win an 8-gig iPod Touch. 4 second prize winners will receive a $25 iTunes gift card, and 5 third-place winners will receive a $10 iTunes gift card. An anthology of the winning stories will be published. Stories will be judged on originality and creativity, writing quality, grammar and spelling, and appropriateness to the Dream Power theme. Anyone who enters and includes a self-addressed stamped envelope with their entry will receive a certificate and a gold Powered by Dreams sticker. Entries must be received by October 31st, 2009. Halloween, I like that. Contest rules and entry form are available at www.remanchronicles.com. That link will be in the show notes. Looks interesting. Contest for kids. Seems like a nice one to enter. So anyone who enters, good luck. So what have I been up to? I'm still editing that novel, and I've started doing a lot of technical writing for work, which I think is kind of fun. It's a matter of writing user's guides or writing requirements, mostly writing the how-to guides. And it's that weird balance because users have so much going on, they really don't want a long guide, so it has to be really quick and then cover all the information really fast. It is the best exercise I can imagine for writing very, very tightly. I've been working on a new web tool, and that's taking a bit of time. I have another project going, but it's not at a stage where I can promise it's actually going to work. So it's nothing I can talk about just yet. And I need someone to limit my Ravelry time. Okay, if you knit or you crochet, you will love Ravelry. It is a social networking site for those of us who are just into playing with yarn. But it is addicting. And I'm on it way too much. I need to cut back because I think I'm on like 3 hours a day now. I've been reading the prequel novel and the novelization of Terminator, and I think I'm addicted. I mean, I'm having yarn dyed in a custom Terminator colorways for a lace shawl because, you know, world-destroying machines and lace shawls just go hand in hand, right? This time I wanted to talk about overwriting. This is when the author, in the attempt to add punch to a dead scene or sound like a writer, overdoes the writing. And my favorite is from some Mac Bolan novel I read long ago. It runs something like this. He liberated a river of 9mm messengers of final release. Narrative style parallels action. If a character is fighting for his life, he's not thinking poetically. If he's considering the woman he loves while enjoying drinks on a beach at sunset, well, then he might be. And that's also why action scenes use shorter sentences and sparser details than the more quiet, thoughtful scenes. And the major forms of overwriting are metaphor. There should never be two metaphors in one paragraph, and rarely more than one on a page. Many great books keep it to one in a chapter, and sometimes less, if everything in the story is referred to as something else, there's a problem. If the same thing is referred to metaphorically multiple ways more than once, especially if it's something simple like a bullet or a corridor, that's likely a problem. This is different than naming something. If the border between friendly and unfriendly territory gains a name like Hell's Gate, and the characters refer to it as such in dialogue and think of it as such, then it's fine to keep using that name for it in narrative. It's a matter of mirroring how the characters think. Don't avoid metaphor completely, because they are useful, but don't overdo them. Trips to the inkwell. Characters can just ask stuff. They don't have to inquire or query. They can show rather than evince. And on the same note, if you're determined to use an unfamiliar word, please look it up. I don't recall where I encountered this, but I read somewhere that someone aspirated a bead. I looked up aspirate in a medical dictionary, and there were two definitions. One, to remove a fluid from a body cavity by using an aspirator or suction syringe. Two, to inhale fluid or foreign body into the bronchi and lungs, often after vomiting. None of these match the condition described. I suspect the author meant choked, but wanted the fancier word. There's no need for it. Don't drive people to the dictionary without a reason. That requires that they put down your book, and you don't want to do that because they might not come back. At least if you're going to do that, get it right. Purple prose. Her eyes were filled with a warmth that could melt the iciest heart, and for a moment he felt in his own a willingness to try again to find love. If there were recriminations hidden in hers, they never made their way to the smile that lit her face like the dawn on the day of creation. If a grudge tried from one beat to the next to find a vulnerable place in which to take root, it could not find a spot that was not already overgrown with her innate goodness. Oh yes, you may gag now. Once in a while, a single sentence like this can help to add a touch of poetry or beauty to a piece, especially if the image is fresh or the insight is new. But this is a really strong seasoning, so use just a dash. Overly complex sentences. This is the condition in which the author, determined to enrich every sentence with as much meaning as possible or as many words as possible, as though that were a good thing, builds sentences with an excess of clauses. Failing to take care concerning prepositional phrases, these sentences are often grammatically incorrect, thus jarring to the reader. With the result of slowing the reader, these sentences diverge routinely from the preferred order of cause and effect. Carrying some of the flaws of simple sentences, these rarely vary in structure, favoring either a long series of actions strung together in one sentence, a list of observations thrown in disarray at a single object, or, worst of all, a group of clauses that don't have enough in common to merit them cohabiting any grammatical construction. The alternate problem is just as bad. This is where every sentence is short and simple. There are no subordinate clauses. There are rarely more than 10 words to the sentence. The sentence structure doesn't vary. It starts to pick up a sing-song feel. It gets annoying fast. Discordant modifiers. This is when a life-saving medicine is described as a chemical sludge, or when an assassin's bullet is called a flicker of mercy. If it says something about the character, it can work, but this needs to be handled with care. Is this really true to the character's thoughts and emotions? Is this really how the character feels about it? Author intrusions. This is most common in scenes centered around the villain, told from the villain's point of view. Darren went over his foul plan in his mind one last time. If we're in Darren's head, the plan isn't foul. It might be clever, or daring, or better yet, free of adjectives, but it isn't foul. Darren has a reason for doing what he's doing, and Darren probably thinks it's a good thing. If Darren doesn't think the goal is a good one, then he's doing things unwillingly, and then he wouldn't take ownership of the plan. It would be his enemy's foul plan. In any case, foul is an adjective that doesn't say much. It's generally a good idea to use adjectives that provide information. Blue, glowing, waist deep, spicy, that sort of things. Descriptions need to fit the character's point of view as well. A friend of mine, Jason, does a podcast called The Block Party Podcast, and it's about game shows and reality TV. That's totally his thing. I'll link to it in the show notes. I knit. So let's say the two of us walk into a room where there's a woman watching Wheel of Fortune. Jason will immediately notice and probably solve the puzzle. I'll notice the sweater she's wearing. At a lull, spending the time to let the point of view character observe what he or she is interested in adds to the characterization and to the narrative voice. Again, it has to be true to what the character would be thinking. One final element of overwriting that I wanted to touch on is repetition. As with all rules of writing, there are exceptions, but it's generally a bad idea to have a character think something and then say it. Joyce noticed the garden had become infested with weeds. "The garden is infested with weeds," she said. One or the other, please. By the way, am I the only one totally addicted to the summer cherries? I don't know what it is, but they're really sweet this year. I'm just totally in love with the cherries this year. But your prompt this week is an exercise. Find a paragraph in your writing and crank the floweriness all the way up and then crank it all the way down. See what middle ground works best. That should wrap us up for this time. Until next episode, be the muse and keep writing. Some of the music provided tonight from the Pod Show, PodSafe Music Network. Check it out at music.podshow.com.
Look up and reach down to a box of dreams and pick anyone you like. Choose the one that will make you the happiest, but you gotta picture it from all sides. That should be so easy for you because your dreams are